be with us today, and he'll tell you some more about him. We won't be having special singing today, so we can give him a little more time, and God's got a message on our heart this morning. So just listen to him and pray for them as they go out to pass out God's word, that they will reach someone with it, that they might be saved. So Brother John, if you would, please come.
I was going to spend 25 years at least in prison, then die, then go to hell. What a way to start a life. I'll tell you a little story about David Bray. This story came by Scripture Blitz in New York just last year. This is where this came from. And I'll tell you a little bit about him. David, he grew up in a part of the Bronx known as Little Italy. My grandfather was in one of the crime families and specialized in bookkeeping and loan sharking. I recall seeing men come into the house carrying bags of cash, and I was fascinated with the whole scene. Having grown up in the environment, I fell into a life of crime myself very soon. I was involved in crime syndicate, which included drugs, alcohol, gambling, etc., you name it. I did it. In 1991, I was ordered to kill a man. What an assignment. Somebody turned me into the police, but I escaped when they came to arrest me and spent the next several days on the run. The family wanted me to turn myself in to avoid any further embarrassment, which I finally did. While I was in prison at Rikers Island, I was told that I was going to spend at least 25 years in prison and then die and go to hell. That's where that come from. I felt that I could do the prison term, but this thing about dying and going to hell was a problem. Sitting in my cell, I noticed a Bible on top of a locker, and it had that little emblem on it that we're familiar with. When I looked inside, I found an index that indicated where I could find verses to help in certain situations. My situation had become very serious, so I turned to some of those pages and began to read. And as I sat in my bed that night, I asked God if he could forgive a murderer, and if so, could he forgive me? The next day, some Gideons held a Christian service there in the prison. I didn't know who the speaker was, but I will never forget his message. He said, "I'm here to tell you that God forgives even murderers, because I was one, and he forgave me." And tears came to my eyes. I knew he had answered my question from the night before. God came very close to me that day, and when I returned to my cell, I began reading that little book in earnest. It wasn't long before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and as my received him as my personal Savior. I began carrying my Bible with me in the prison and yard and talking about how God had set me free. This made some of my fellow inmates angry, but God protected me, and I was able to lead one of them to Christ after he asked about the change in my life. And this is his description of what's happening here. The Bible says that one man plants and another waters, but God gives the increase. The question is, what if no one plants? What is there for a next man to water? Some unknown Gideon planted a Bible that ended up on top of a locker. Another Gideon spoke in the chapel service and watered that seed. Then God gave the increase. Rikers Island, where David Bray was incarcerated, is the world's largest penal colony with an estimated 22,000 inmates. Imagine that. Several members visited the multi-facility prison on September the 22nd and 23rd, 2012. That was when the splits was going on in New York last year, to play scriptures and hold chapel services. There were 57 inmates reported to have received Christ as their Savior during those visits. Can you imagine? Members of the Gideon International who participated in the bits last September were blessed to hear the testimony of one such individual as David Bray. And I want to go to the Bible, and I want to read you a verse that we Gideons hold very close to our hearts. It comes from Isaiah 55:11, and it reads, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Man, can't you relate that to David's story? Look at the increase. One scripture in this man's hand. And you know, today, what David is doing? He's working in the prison chaplaincy as a chaplain. Look at God's word, what he promises. Everything I'll tell you about the Gideons today goes back to that verse. It fills my soul to know if I go out and pass a scripture out to someone that I've planted a seed, but give God the thanks for it, for the fact that I'm here. And I'm willing to do that. But you never know, do you, when you put God's word in someone's hand, the effect that that's going to have. Just like this guy picking it up and getting it all started. God touched his heart and everything else fell in place because 55:11 says that's going to happen. Just follow and have trust in him that what you do in reaching out to other people can have a dramatic impact. It did here. And I want to say this too, that I'm not here to ask thanks or for the Gideons or build the Gideons up, but I'm here to give praise to the Lord because he is the one that led me to the Gideons. I asked myself a question before I ever came again, and I was sharing that with the Lord here. And, you know, you don't get to share with somebody every day. Your pastor may have a better opportunity than us people, but we do meet people out here, don't we? And one day I've been going to church all my life, and I got concerned. And I says, "Lord," I said, "is there anything else I can do to help further your mission? What can I do to help? I've never really brought someone to the Lord." You know what happened the next day? Got a call from my pastor. He said the Gideons called yesterday, wanted to know if I had any names of someone that was worthy to be a Gideon. And I gave them your name. I was invited. The Gideons called me. I was invited to a dinner. And we went down through the process that we go through for new members, and we're holding one in your camp down here and my camp in Dobson next week. And I was at this one. But when I got the call from my pastor, I said, "Lord, is this the answer to my prayer?" And I go and I sit down and I listen, and you know, I became a member that night. I couldn't wait. And the ability and the opportunity to serve in the Gideons and the path that the Lord has laid out for us to follow in fulfilling that mission has been a total blessing to me. Now, I haven't brought a bunch of people to Christ, but I want to tell you, I went to Surrey Community College just a little bit, and we were passing out testimonies down there, and a little girl came by. She's just a little thing, and she was, of course, going to college. And she come by, and she was a little shy, didn't want to. She kind of went away, and I said, "Hey, would you care for a scripture?" She says, "Well, I guess so." I said, "You guess so, don't you? You go to church?" "No, my mom and dad don't go to church, and I haven't gone. Once in a while, I go with my boyfriend." And I said, "Well, I got just what you need." And I opened up my scripture, and I said, "In the front, here's a little help section. It's subject you have in life, problems you're having with. It tells you where to go in the Bible to find the answer to that." She said, "Oh," and she got excited. And I opened it up, and I showed her a couple of things. "Oh, could I have that?" I said, that's the reason I opened it up, just for you. And she says, "But I got to go on to class." And I said, "I understand." And she walked away. But, you know, my heart was just pounding because she, you know, you can tell when somebody enjoys something you give them. You give them a surprise or a gift or something. You know how they appreciate it. Now, she really appreciated that. I haven't seen her since. But I got a feeling that she went to reading that scripture right away, and hopefully I prayed to the Lord that he touched her soul. Another lady come by, I offered her a scripture. She says, no, thank you, and she went on. And I was in a hallway. She got about halfway down a hallway, and I noticed she slowed down. I don't know why I kept looking at her, but she just slowed down, and finally she turned around and came back, walking real slow. She said, can I change my mind? I said, sure you can. And I gave her a New Testament, and she stood there and thumbed through the pages, and I kind of told her what I told the other lady about the help section, and she went to that, looked at it. She said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And so she goes on. She had to go to class to it, and that's a busy place for students and what I have. But God put me with the scripture. I gave it to these two ladies. I passed out 100 that day. Right, 99, right at 100. But I passed out to me. I don't know how many others that went away and really used those scriptures. But, you know, those two really made my day. And we've been back since and we've passed out several scriptures down there. And every year we do. Also, we go into schools. We have the opportunity now to go into, not every school does this, but Surrey County Schools lets us go into the fifth grade and distribute scriptures to the fifth graders, which is wonderful. And every year we do that, and it's wonderful. You know, the kids, I've never had one to turn one down in school, the fifth graders. So they were curious, and I know if they're that curious, they're going to pick it up and read. But again, God's word was planted, a seed was planted. And you know, something happened in the news just recently. I know you all saw it in Forsyth County. They're talking about making a Bible as elective in school. Now, that's wonderful news in my book. Wonderful news. When I went to school, we used to have Bibles all over the place and Testaments. We'd have sword drills. Any of you remember those? Yeah. Somebody yell out a passage, and the first one to find it, hold up your Bible, and you get one or something. I don't remember what it was, but I remember those. And but anyway, it's like I said, I didn't want to lift these Gideons up, because it all comes from God. His guidance, His word holds true, and He doesn't tell you something and then forget it. If He says His word is going to multiply and be fruitful and won't return void, then that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. I want to tell you a little bit just how the Gideons got started. This goes back to 1898 in Wisconsin in a motel. Samuel Hill and John Nicholson were the two guys involved, and they were Christian folks, and they were traveling salesmen, and the place was full that night, the hotel was, and they had to share a room. And one of them says, well, I always say I have prayer before I go to, well, I do too. So they joined right in and had prayer, and they had a nice sleep and got up next morning. They were talking about their Christianity and their love of the Lord and what they could do. They decided, well, when we get together, we'll invite some more. We'll have a little prayer session or something, you know. So they started on. That went on for a couple of years. And then one of them came up with the idea of placing a Bible in the lobby. And they all agreed to that. And so that extended out past that hotel to other places. But to continue that story on, in 1908, talking 10 years later, it was a church in Louisville, Kentucky, just like this church right here. The same thing's happening as is happening today. They come to the Gideons and they say, we want to help. Well, how can you help? So we want to hold a service and raise funds for the Gideons, so help you to purchase more scripture so we can put a Bible in every room in a motel, a hotel. That's where that came from in 1908. That church did just that. They had a special service for the Gideon, raised funds. I have no idea how much it was. There's probably a record somewhere, but I don't know. But the point is that they got this one book in every room started. And today we're still trying to keep the same thing going. And sometimes we run into a closed door. I don't know of one in our area, but I hear about this throughout the country. Some places won't let you do that. But But isn't it wonderful to know that that you can go into a, spend a night in a motel somewhere, and if you don't have your Bible with you, you can open up a drawer or look on top of it, and most times you're going to find one. And I know when I was in the military for 21 years and traveled a lot and stayed a lot of nights in the motels and traveling and what have you, and that's one of the first things I did. I'd always find, get me a Bible, and I'd do some reading before I turned in for the night. But and it was always there, always there. But I appreciate that. But God provided a way for the Gideons to get those scriptures there. And you guys, I know I've looked at your table back here. You're in the missionary theme of things too. You give to missions and support, and that is a wonderful thing, because there's more than one way to plant a seed and what avenue you go. And the more the merrier, in my opinion. And the more we can get out there to those lost people that don't know Jesus is what we're all about. And the Lord says it'll go into all corners of the earth and distribute the word, doesn't he? And he doesn't say that by name. He mentions, he's talking to all of us. If we are a believer, then we're committed there. But this church in Louisville, Kentucky sure came up with a good idea, because I'll tell you what, if you subtracted all the funds in the Gideon ministry from what they take in a year, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? Amen. We could not purchase scriptures to go out through the world. And what I'm telling you about scriptures, and just last week I got an email. We've been saying for the last two or three years that we are in 194 countries, and we print scriptures in 93 different languages. But we added one more just last month in February in a little island. What was the name of that place? It's out in the middle of the Pacific. They opened it up. I had it down here somewhere. K-A-N-A-N-U or something. It's difficult to pronounce. But it's right in the middle of the Pacific. They had 18 new Gideon members in it. And now, where are they going to go? I don't know how many. There's 10 or 20,000 people on that little island. But there's a Gideon camp there. And that's a country. And they are in the business as we speak. So we want to pray for them that they can spread God's word from one corner of that little island to the other. And talking about the scriptures, I want to tell you this, we have, I know you've seen these, but this little red testament we give to the schools, the fifth graders, and we've come out with some others, different colors with different colors. We got several now. I get confusing a little bit about where they go, but a lot of them we can pass out at fairs and events or whatever. But this little red one we give to schools, and I'm so thankful for that. But that costs $1.35, and a Bible is $5. So you say, well, how long? We have no idea how this is going to last, because we can't keep up with it. But, you know, one Bible in one motel room has a life expectancy of 6 years. In 6 years, that Bible has the potential to reach 23,000 people. That's amazing, isn't it? And I've been in motels and took replace, go through and check and make sure that each room has a Bible, and you find one gone, and you smile. Well, you put a new one out there, and we go on. Somebody's using that, or they would never have taken it. I've gone into it, and pages been torn out. I've gone into them with messages and notes and how someone was touched by the scripture they read. And, you know, the blessings you get from seeing that firsthand is, I can't describe it, but it's wonderful to know that God's word is at work when I'm not around. It's at work. It's out there. It's exposed. That seed is there. And we have a couple other, I want to show you a couple, camouflage. And of course, most of you know that goes to the military. And white, little white testament, I don't have one with me, but it gives to the nursing community and the medical personnel. This little brown testament is, we call it our personal worker's testament. And we Gideons, we keep one in our pocket most of the time. And if I don't have it in my pocket, it's in my van or car, one. I was walking through the mall one day, And I had one in my pocket because I was going to sit down and read a little bit, and I did. And some guy came up. Where'd you get that? I said, oh, it's mine. And I'm in the Gideons. I got some of these. Well, do you pass them out? I said, sure I do. And he said, could I have one? And I said, stay right here. I'll be right back. I only got one, but I'll get you a brand new one out of the truck. So I go out and get one. And before I got through, I'd give out two or three. People stopping by and wanting to know what was going on. But you never know what kind of exposure. But this is our little personal worker's testament. We carry that with us tonight, near and dear to our heart. And there's one testimony about a guy in the police business, and he was out. I can't recall his name, but it stopped a bullet right over his heart. His testament did. And that's how he came to know the Lord. That little testament saved his life. And he had to thank the Lord for that. And I think I would too if I had known that. But the little white testament, I got a little testimony about one of those. There's a young lady down in Texas, Judy Cassidy was her name. And she was helping her father, lived on a farm, deliver some pigs, little pigs, piglets. I don't know if any of you are familiar with raising pigs or not, but my dad used to, and he'd always raise more than we needed, so he'd sell a few. So they were doing the same thing. They made a few extra bucks selling half a dozen little pigs. And they were delivering them, and she said, while they were doing that one morning, she went, well, what am I going to do with my life when I get off of this farm? And the next thing went up, she was in nursing school. She went to nursing school. Her mom and dad did not go to church, and she hadn't never been in a church. And the Gideon ladies came by the auxiliary arm when they passed out those white testaments and gave Judy one. And Judy started reading it. And then she went home, and she was reading it, and her dad wanted to know what she was doing, and she told him, and he didn't comment much. But after a few days, she says, Dad, will you go with me to church? Let's go to church. So he said, oh, maybe later. So she goes to church, and she asked her dad the next day, and next Sunday, and I think he put it off again, but about the third Sunday, the second Sunday, she goes in, they gave an altar call, and she was a daughter with her little white testament. She said, I cherished my little white testament when I realized who God was, who Jesus was, and how he died for my sins. And she says, I had to talk to my dad. So I did. Her dad went to the church. She told him about her being saved. Went to the church the third Sunday. Well, her dad goes to the altar. Well, she goes back home and talks to her mom. Her mom got saved from that little white testament. Her brother got saved from that little white testament. Judy was still at work. And Judy's friend and her brother started going together. They wound up getting married. Well, guess what? Judy convinced her too with her little white testament. And one day in the hospital, Judy was reading her Bible, and there was a patient there just wanting to die. She was so sick, she just wanted to die. And she said, would you read some to me instead? And she said, could I borrow that to read when you're not here? And so she did. And the next second day or something, she said, well, could I have this little testament? She said, well, she said, she thought so much of it, she said, I hesitated, but I knew I could get another. So I gave her my testament. And she didn't know what happened to that lady, but she says, I have a good feeling that she accepted Christ too. But see, that goes back to Isaiah again. It was different hands, but the message was the same. God did not renege on his promise to make sure that that fruit came from that scripture, that it wouldn't return void. It would multiply, and it did. It did. But one thing I also want to discuss this morning is tribute cards. There's another way we raise funds for the Gideons, and I brought three, and we checked your display rack back there and kind of replenished a couple, but it was pretty well full. But if you ever run out of display cards, let us know, and we'll get you some. These are cards that you can send, and these are wonderful, folks. I want to tell you, I use them. In memory of someone, send this in memory. And somebody says, well, they're hard to fill out or whatever. They're really not. If you just take it line by line, it's self-explanatory. It does it really good, and you can mail it out. Or you can even get online and do it, and they'll send them for you. Just give them the information. Type in the information. They'll even do it for you. And a little card inside, or it was not one in this one, but send funds to the Gideons. It's a way we have of raising funds. And you know something? That is very successful program they have, because I know the Gideons use them. We use them. If someone passes away and we want to send one in memory of someone or in honor of someone, in recognition, if somebody's done something one of your relatives you're really proud of and you just want to thank them, you can do that way. And just thinking of you. Somebody's sick or something, I've been thinking of you. You can do that. And you've got a rack of those cards in the back, and it's basically full right now. But use them, because it is a way to support the ministry, and so we can buy more scriptures. And I want to tell you one thing I've missed in this, and this I think is very important. Every nonprofit organization in this country has to maintain itself somehow. They got administrators, they got people that look at the Gideon. Somebody's got to box them up and ship them out. Somebody's got to place the order to buy them and place orders and get them in and get them distributed. So if somebody does that all day long, how do they make any money? So there are certain people that need funds and support. But I want to tell you, that is done in a unique way in the Gideons. His dues and my dues I pay for the Gideons is what supports the administrative element of the Gideons. Any money that you give, whether you give it today in an offering, whether you give it in sending a folder in and just donating something to the Gideons, every penny of that money goes to buy scriptures. It's not funneled anywhere else. No one gets paid out of that. So all your money, 100% of it, gets spent for the purchase of scriptures. And I think that's very important, because I'm not calling any organization, but you all know that some organizations pay people up $100,000 to look after something. I don't know what anybody makes in the Gideons. I have no idea. But it's not paid out of money that you give. I can say that here. Every dime goes to purchase scriptures. And I think that's a notable trait to have when you're trying to get God's word out. It's something to have. And we Gideons also have needs ourselves. And I know if you're in the missionary work that prayer is a very important element of our Christian walk, isn't it? Our own prayers, our own needs and things, and our church and what we stand for, and we as an organization to help support missions overseas and what have you. But we need your prayers, and we ask you to just remember us in prayer when you're on your knees and think of us, because the more we get, the more we can get out. And I'll tell you a little story on this one. I had a guy that went down in, I think it was Malaya, and they did a scripture blitz down there, and they passed out a truckload of New Testaments. And they were going home and on the bus. And this guy, in fact, the guy lived in King. He's dead now, but Benny Church. I don't know if any of you know him, but he passed away. But he was the one that told this story. And he says, where we were passing out scriptures, the kids were at a school. The school was a display or a congregation of old shipping containers that you pull on the back of a tractor trailer. You know, the ones that they take, lift up and stack up. They were using them for classrooms. And they cut a hole in the side of that metal thing just to get air. Had no books, no books. He said you could hold up one testament and 20 kids would come running. And it says we passed out all of our testaments, and I got on the bus to go back to get on the plane to go home, and there was a little boy running alongside my bus, beating on the side of scripture, mister, scripture. And I didn't have it. He told that story with tears in his eyes. I know that broke his heart, to know that all he'd passed out, and here's a little kid wanting one so bad, and nobody had any. They'd passed them all out. But the way those kids were doing those, one would grab a scripture, take it, and he would run, and he said 10 more would follow him. They'd all gather around and read and let somebody read to them from it. They didn't even have a book in the schoolrooms that they were attending. So can you imagine living in an environment like that? No books. And the teachers had nothing except to talk to the kids. It's sad. And then one scripture didn't have that little kid. He said, I would have went back over there and paid my own airfare, if but I couldn't get in. I had to be with the Gideons to take that guy's little kid a scripture. But I don't care sometimes how much you do or how far you go with something. There's always room for more in there. Amen. And I think it's the same way here. But we need your prayers, and we need your help there. Also, one other thing, the second thing we need are new members. And all of our members come from different denomination churches. We're not all from a Baptist faith. And I'm from a Friends Church, Quaker Church. That's a very old denomination in the state. So if you're interested in being a Gideon, let me know or call someone in the Gideons. And I think you got a couple of members in here. And but if you want to be in the Gideons, just ask. And of course, the third thing is your financial support. We ask that, and we ask you to pray about that, and to know that the money that you give is going to buy scripture. It doesn't go to pay someone's salary. It doesn't go to buy someone gas. The gas I spent to get here this morning, that would come out of my pocket. That all the expense we have traveling, it's donated. It's just charity. And you never pay any attention to it. You do it and go on. The good Lord blesses. You can't outgive the Lord. I've always said that. Because what you give, it comes back some way. So he takes care of me. He really does. And I thank him so much. But that's about all I have this morning. And I just want to thank Pastor and you guys for you've made me feel at home. You know, I could walk out the door and come back here next Sunday and just fit right in. You guys are home. you're friendly and kind, and most churches are, and I can't take anything away from it. But it's so good to be in God's house. Amen. Thank y'all for letting me be here.
Amen. We appreciate him being here this morning. Thank the Lord for the work that the Gideons are doing and reaching out to those that are in need and are searching. And it's very important. If we don't plant, we can't water, we can't sow or reap when it's time for reaping. And we have to be careful on what we sow when we are sowing, because when harvest time comes, don't be surprised if the harvest you get is not what you wanted. But if it's what you've sown, that's what you reap in return. So if we sow God's word, he will bless it, that it will go out and accomplish, that people will be drawn. I remember being in the fifth grade, receiving our testaments there at Glade Creek School, and John Brady was our fifth grade teacher, and the rest of the evening after we got him, he gave us free time to read. And about everybody in the class was reading their Bibles there that they had got that day. Many of them had gone to Sunday school and had Bibles at home, but it was just something about having that little red testament. And being able to read it there and being able to share and seeing everybody get involved, because some didn't go to church, but everybody was reading, had an interest. So we thank them for the work that they do and for God's blessings upon them and for the word that's being planted in people's hearts and lives and there that they may receive it. I thank God that one day that he reached down in our heart and showed us that we was lost and that we needed a Savior. If the preacher hadn't went and preached, if people didn't have concern, if people didn't have a care about the lost and dying, I might still be lost today. God might have allowed, I might have got to the point where I hardened my heart to the point where I wouldn't hear about Jesus. But I'm glad that at a tender age that I heard about him. And as I grew, I knew him. But then I thank God for the day that I got to know him as my Savior. And this morning, he wants to save you if you're here and you're lost. He wants to save you today. He wants to share with you his love that, like No one else can. You think it, young people, that your boyfriend and girlfriend, that they love you and that they think the world of you, and you hope and pray that they do and all these things, and spend countless hours just thinking about them and on the phone, but God loves you so much more. So much more. And as we grow, we realize that and we understand that more and more as we get a little closer to home, as we walk with God, we realize just how much He does love us. And closer we get to home, the greater the love we see that God has to share with us. And we thank Him that He uses many avenues. Brother Bill Say was one of the ones that we've heard talk about there, in kind of similar circumstances with being in the families, in the mafia, and different things, and the things that took place, and different ones, but that they read God's Word, and it was there at the time that they truly needed it. And I'm glad it's there when we all need it, whatever we're going through, that it's there with answers for our life, for these young people that's here, that's learning and growing and getting a knowledge. It's very important as a foundation, is being laid in their, put in their life and laid in their life that they can build upon. As we continue, as God's people, continue to work on those foundations to make sure God's Word continues to be planted in their heart, that they can grow up and say they know Him as their Savior. I had a few scriptures, but I'm not going to share them today. Don't feel the Lord have us to preach today, so we're not going to step on what He's saying do. But we are going to receive an offering at the back of the church after we dismiss in just a few moments of time. And if God lays it on your heart to give something to the Gideon Mission, then please do. We'll have an offering plate. I'll have one of the deacons to have that in the back today there to help take that up for them. But just pray for them. But pray for one another. Pray for the lost. We've had lost in our presence, and we need to be much in prayer for them. They've signified by raising of hands. We need to pray for them, whether we know them or not. I've not told you their name. I'm not going to share it with you because of the confidence and confidentiality. But God knows who they are, and all you need to pray is for the lost and dying, whoever it may be, that God would save them and He would draw them. Live a life before them that would draw as well, not repel. Don't be like the two magnets with opposite attractions there. Be one that would be one that would be able to draw because you're living a Christian life. That would draw all men unto you as well because of the love that you have for God. That people would want to know what you've got and be able to share with this world. Because there's many that are seeking and searching for the love of God. They just don't realize. And you may be the one voice that we've talked about before, that just one voice being obedient. In 1 Kings chapter 13, talking about one man who was obedient to God. God told him to go and speak to the Josiah or Jeroboam and tell him about the altar that they were burning incense upon, that it wasn't right and that the altar was going to be broken down and that Josiah would burn the flesh of those priests that were offering in the high places and burning incense there to the false gods, that they would give their life upon that altar and be burnt, and their bones would be burned as well. And Jeroboam stretched out his hand to deny the man of God and tell him to leave. And when he did, his hand withered, and he was not able to draw it back in again. And he asked the man of God to pray for him, that God would restore his hand. And God did. And today we see that many are withered because they're denying the power of God. Not just their hands, but their hearts, their lives, and everything else about them. We don't need to be dry. We need to have a fervent heat in our bones that we would share with the lost and dying the story of Jesus. That we'd be obedient as the man of God was. Now he went, but he was warned of God not to stop there, not to return in the same way that he came, not to partake of the meat of the area, not to tarry there. But there was another prophet who lied to this prophet and said that God told him it would be all right if he came in to him. So he returned. And when he didn't obey God. And when he left, he was attacked by a lion as he rode his ass and was leaving. The man was killed. The lion and the ass stood by as a witness to what took place. The lion didn't attack the animal. And it was there, but the man's life was taken because he was not obedient. How many of us today have not been obedient to God's word, have not heeded God's call, have not done what God has asked us to do, are in the same shape as this prophet was, obedient to a point, but then led astray by the false. So many times we're led astray. That's why we need to know God's word ourselves, that we're not led astray in a simple way. Satan's telling you today, if you're here and lost, he's trying to tell you that there's a better time, more convenient season. Brother, sister, today is the day of salvation. You're not promised that you'll have a breath tomorrow. You're not promised that you'll have time to repent and say, Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. You're not promised that time. But Satan will lie to you and say, oh, there's plenty of time. Plenty of time. I can remember it taking forever to become 16 years of age, be able to drive a car. Then 21 wasn't far behind. But now it seems like a distant memory in the rearview mirror. And it seems like it's getting further and further away, and time is speeding up faster and faster. And it won't be long, though I'm 43 years old, when you look at the time and how it goes, it won't be long until I'll be at home with God. It won't be long until you're home with God if you're saved. It also won't be long that you'll be in hell if you're not. God loves you this morning. We'll ask our musicians if they would come. Get us a song ready. As they play softly, I want the church to stand. Bow your heads and pray that if there's one here today that's lost, that they'll surrender to God. If there's one here today that's cold and indifferent, that they'll surrender to God. You're not surrendering to me. You're not surrendering to the deacon board. You're not surrendering to any other members of this church, but you're surrendering to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, not giving up, but obtaining a heavenly reward if you'll only surrender. This morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, as they play softly. Would you just come? If you don't want to walk to this altar this morning, raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I realize I'm lost and I need to be saved. Help me pray that God will increase my faith that I might be able to believe and just trust Him and surrender to Him. Friend, it'll be the greatest thing that you've ever done. We're all born to go to hell because of the fall in the garden. But Jesus said, I'll go and pay that debt that no one else can pay. I'll be the supreme sacrifice because my Father has already ordained it. And I'll go and I'll give my life on the cross. Before the hammer struck the nail, His blood touched the cross for me. And friend, He did for you. Church member, maybe you're here this morning or visiting with us and you've got a need or a concern. Would you just lift your hand and say, Preacher, I've got a need. Will you help me pray? God bless that hand. I bless that hand. God bless that hand. Just be honest before God. He knows your heart. God bless that hand. You might as well be honest. He already knows. I may not, and that won't matter. But God does. Bless that hand. Will you just be honest before Him? Friend, this altar's open. Best place in the world I know to talk to Jesus is at His feet. The ground is level. It's not uphill or downhill. It's level if you'll come. He's saying, come. Come just as you are. Don't try to clean yourself up in the pew to make yourself worthy to come to the altar. That's not what God says do. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. He'll do the cleaning. He'll do the forgiving. He'll do the strengthening. Whatever is need for your life, God will do it if you'll come and ask Him and trust Him. I feel there's somebody else that's got a need this morning. Will you just surrender and come? Will you just surrender and step out? Bring whatever your problem. Maybe you just want to thank God. That's great too. Come. Come and bow and just thank Him. You don't have to come and ask for something all the time. Just come and thank Him. If you've got a need, if you've got a concern, if you've got a prayer of thanksgiving, just bring it. We'll wait. We'll wait.